Last week on Arts to Protect, we heard about the urgent need for marine protected areas to protect the biodiversity and marine life. The island of Ireland is spoiled for sea life, yet just 9% of our sea is protected. Sticking with the sea this week, we hear how the ocean plays a huge role in helping us fight the negative aspects of climate change. So how does the ocean and marine life help us with life above water? I spoke to Marine Policy Officer at Fair Seas, Dr. Donal Griffin.
All about marine biodiversity is it has a really important role in helping us sequester carbon from the atmosphere and for locking it away, you know, for generations or even millennia if left undisturbed. So often what's talked about is seagrass and salt marsh and phytoplankton, you know, your primary producers, and it's true that they are real fantastic, incredible allies in the fight against climate change. For example, seagrass captures carbon up to 35 times faster than tropical rainforest, accounting for 10 to 18% of total carbon storage, despite covering less than 0.1% of the seafloor. So that gives you an idea of the efficiency and the rate and just a fantastic way in which seagrass and, to just a slightly lesser degree, but still brilliant, salt marsh can have in the carbon cycle and helping us tackle climate change.
Believe it or not, fish simply existing and swimming about their day-to-day are unsung heroes. They help with the ocean carbon cycle. The amount of carbon in the ocean is 50 times greater than in our atmosphere. Fish help store the carbon in the ocean, which is released over a timescale of several hundred years.
There are three different ways in which fish contribute to the ocean carbon cycle, basically. The first one is that, so fish, and there are, you know, millions upon millions of tons of fish in the sea, and their bodies, and you get small fish, and there's huge, big fish as well, right up to bass and sharks that we have on the Irish coast, the second biggest fish in the sea, and then whale sharks. But their bodies then are stores of carbon. In the same way that our bodies are stores of carbon, all living flesh, tissue, bone is all carbon-derived. So this store in fish bodies is a temporary store. And when you scale that up to all the fish in the world, that's a huge carbon source there. And then, of course, when fish live out their lives and they grow and they reproduce and they eat and whatever, their carcasses or their dead bodies then deliver carbon to deeper water as they sink down, that their dead bodies sink down into the deeper water, into sediment as they sink. So that's one strong pathway from the surface or from living animals then down to the sediment. But also, you think about all these millions of tons of fish in the world, in the oceans, that they all, you know, on a daily basis, all day, every day, are pooping and peeing and everything else. So their fecal pellets contain carbon and they rapidly sink to the deep sea sediment. So that's another pathway by which carbon goes from the surface down to the deeper sediment and can be locked away. And then also, because fish migrate vertically in the water column, they go up and down and move all around a big shoal or individually, and they feed on this carbon-rich food, and sometimes it can be directly on primary producers, which sequester carbon directly, like algae or even seagrass or salt marsh we were talking about, or phytoplankton, tiny algae, photosynthesizing algae in our seas. And then the fish that eat those, that carbon-rich food, then return to deeper waters, or again then deliver it to the deep sea in the form of feces, or even through just respiration and their carcasses, and even the movement, and their movement mixes the water, so that the primary productivity or the amount of photosynthesis that uses up carbon, removes it from the atmosphere, increases as well. So it's all interlinked.
Protecting the seas and its wildlife isn't just about protecting the population of these animals from overfishing or even worse, extinction. It's to protect their purpose in the environment and how they tackle the negative aspects of climate change.
Managing our fisheries well is really, really important. And we need to manage our fisheries not just from a singular narrow lens that maybe was the historical way we did things in terms of, okay, how many fish of that specific fish species are left or how many did we take out? How many can we take out? How many should we leave in? But actually, we need to think more broadly and holistically on the environment. Like, what are the impacts on the total ecosystem in terms of climate, in terms of carbon, in terms of the impact on seabed features, for example, all these other things as well. So it's really fascinating to think about it in those terms, you know, fighting climate change, but actually the ocean and fish in our ocean, seagrass, salt marsh, even whales, you know, it's estimated that the great whales, these are the big whales of the ocean, are 33 tons of CO2 on average store, and that's 33 tons of average, you know, that's not in the atmosphere, you know, contributing to climate change. It's a fascinating story, really, that everything in the sea we can think about as our climate ally, but fish particularly, whales particularly, and seagrass and salt marsh, they're really our ocean heroes, you know, our climate heroes, and can really, given the scale of our oceans on the planet and given the scale of, you know, the whales all around the world that are just a fraction of what they were historically, you know, the role that they can do in helping us get out of the mess that we have made, you know, as humans, and through the increase of carbon emissions into the atmosphere, it's really fascinating, and it's a real source of hope, you know, when sometimes, you know, hope is thin on the ground when it comes to when we think about climate and, you know, the mad weather that we've had and really frightening weather that has been in parts of Europe and wildfires and hailstones and all sorts. So it's a real source of hope for me, and it should be for other people as well.
The Marine Protected Areas Bill is underway with the goal to reach 30% protected sea areas by 2030. If you'd like updates or more information on its importance, visit fairseas.ie. Till then, stay tuned next week for another episode of Ours to Protect.